prayer. Our Father, in this hour, we are most greatly made aware of our weakness and our need. And yet we are made aware of your goodness and your grace to us. As we remember this loved one and friend that you so graciously blessed us with all of these years. We pray that you give us strength, enable us to remember her, and enable us to glorify you. We pray for that comfort that alone can come from the God of all comfort. We ask you to help us in this hour especially. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. No funeral service for Lorna would be appropriate without the singing of hymns. Richard, come and lead us.
In your hymnal, hymn number 28. We're going to ask you to stand as we sing. Thank you.
Concerning him and a man named Lazarus. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of him taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he was already laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Lord, yea, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world."
Take your hymnals once again. Turn to hymn number 267. There is a fountain. Let's stand once again as we sing.
Thank you. Saying grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord hath promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. The earth shall soon to ruin go, like snow dissolve, like snow. The Son of God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first
we gather here today to remember a dear lady, Lorna Claire Schwartz, who passed from this life on Wednesday. She was a wife, mother, sister, grandmother, friend. Lorna is survived by her husband of 61 years, Joe Schwartz, and a daughter, Erica Heblethwaite, and her husband, Mark, a daughter, Ingrid Phillips, and her husband, Keith, a granddaughter, Hillary Schwartz, great-granddaughter Haley Ingram, great-grandson Dominique Wilson, brother Philip Ham and his wife Jean, the sister Donna Wright, brother Arnold Osborne, and a whole lot of nephews, nieces, cousins, in-laws, and friends. I basically stole that information from Erica's obituary, which I hope that you will read. Lorna loved people. She loved to talk to people. She loved to read. She loved music. As a matter of fact, she introduced me to Iris DeMint, and I never forgave her for that because she kind of hangs with me to this day. And she played for this congregation for many years. As a matter of fact, she played and sung at my dad's funeral way back in 1993. And she was the first one that I heard sing a hymn that has become my favorite. I believe this is what she sung at my dad's funeral. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Our gracious and faithful God has brought her to hear His sovereign voice one last time on the earth. "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast." And though we have sorrow for her today, genuine sorrow, and we will miss her, our sorrow is not without hope. It is not without a hope for those who are in Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul makes this very statement. He said, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Hope, because those who die in Christ, they die in hope. But the hope that Paul speaks of, as he often does, and is often spoken of in the Scriptures, is not a mere wish. We say sometimes, "I hope this or that," when we really don't expect it, but we wish it would be so. But hope, biblical hope, is an expectancy that is based on the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ. They're all based on Him and His Word. That which God promised to His people before the world began, that Paul writes of to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is an amazing hope. Because in death, which we shall also come to, and not very far off. I know not me at 74, but also you, if you're a teenager, it will seem like nothing. It'll pass swifter than a weaver's shuttle. We'll soon come to this time, and in death, she, like us, will confess that she was a sinner. I know that. We'll all confess that. Because the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. The Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. All these second causes that we're always trying to find out about, cancer or heart attack or whatever it is, all these second causes, these instruments of death, they're not the cause of death. Sin bringeth forth death. She was a sinner. As a matter of fact, she struggled with that. And she struggled with that in a lot of ways because of her background, being raised up in a religion that based salvation on human works and goodness and morality. Something men do in order to be saved. But I would tell her oftentimes in her continual confession of herself as a sinner, she received the only assurance a sinner has or can have. And that is, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Why would we ever want to deny such a standing, but be found on the very standing upon which God promises mercy and grace? Christ came to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And she struggled with this oftentimes. She said, my faith is so weak. My faith is so weak. But, you know, the Bible speaks of little faith and it speaks of great faith. And all measures of faith, as God is sovereignly given to His people, each and every one. But I would remind her, and it would always seem to bring peace to her faith, I would remind her, it's not the amount of faith that you have, great or little. It's the object of faith. God-given faith, and faith does have to be given to each and every one if he has it. God-given faith has one object. It's never in self. It's always in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all assurance must come from faith. It can never be based on what we are or what we do or what we haven't done. It must always come in faith, looking to Jesus Christ. Whenever the apostles were asked of Christ after so many in the multitude had gone away, left him. After he quit giving them food, they left him when he began to talk about spiritual and eternal things. And he looked at those disciples, the few that were left. And he said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then he followed that statement with these words, and we believe and are sure. That is, the measure of faith determines the measure of assurance that we have. The measure of faith and that God-given ability to look and to trust Christ alone for all of salvation, the measure of faith to which we're able to look to Him, that determines assurance in our heart. And she confessed something else in confessing that she was a sinner. The only way that a sinner like her or a sinner like me can be saved, or that anybody is saved, is by God Himself. And He saves all that He saves by His grace. He saves all He saves without any works on their part. People often ask me, they say, you mean to tell me that we have nothing to do with our salvation? I said, well, not exactly. We did the sinning. But God must do all the saving. And He has saved His people according to His own purpose and grace, and given them that good hope of grace, grace given by God Himself in Christ crucified. We read in John 11 about Thomas, who's been given the name by such worthy folks as ourselves. We've called him Doubting Thomas. He wanted evidence. That's what the flesh always wants evidence. But God gave him faith without that evidence. He never did thrust his hand in the side of Christ. He never did touch those nail-scarred hands. But he said, my Lord and my God. We all, the Lord's people, are full of doubt and fears at times, some more than others. But Paul said, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That means no hope in ourselves, no hope in our works, no hope in our righteousness, no hope based on what we felt one day or didn't feel the next, no hope based on what we have done in a Christian life or whatever we might call it, but hope that is one in one outside of ourselves, and He has accomplished our salvation. We have hope because God sent her to the gospel. I'm not a great preacher. I'm a nobody. But I preach the gospel. The gospel by which He saves His people, and the gospel by which He gets to Himself all the glory. And God sent her to the gospel, and the gospel to her. because that's the only place we find out about hope. Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereby ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Hope's only to be found in Christ. And Christ is only distinguished by His truth. It's not what I say He is or what you think He is. It's what He is and what God says in His Word, in the Gospel, the Word of truth, the Gospel. What is that? That being justified by His grace. Being declared righteous by His grace. Not unjustly, but because of Christ and His suffering and His death in our place, putting away our sins, paying for them. God can justly give us hope. And when we are enabled by God to believe the gospel, to trust in Christ alone, we have hope. We have Him who is our hope. I was thinking today about what the mother of Samson said to her husband when the angel visited them and received the sacrifice, and which was probably the pre-incarnate Christ. But he said to her, "We've seen God. We'll surely die." She said to him, "If God had intended to kill us, He wouldn't have showed us all these things. If God had intended on taking her without Christ, He wouldn't have showed her Christ. He wouldn't have brought her to the gospel. He wouldn't have caused her for all these years to sit under the gospel, to be reminded of where hope is." Christ, their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, which is our by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If we have not the true Christ, we have not hope. There are so many things in this book that distinguishes the true Christ. But the reason that preachers do not preach this book is because they're deceivers. They present a Christ that is antichrist. They present a Christ that men want to believe in naturally because they're sinners. But this book is a kind of Cinderella slipper that fits just one, the true Christ. So when men hear what they want to hear in preachers saying, smile, God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, and God's will is that everybody to be saved, they have identified a false Christ, because the Christ of the Bible laid down His life for the sheep. And He looked at those Pharisees in the eye and He said, "You believe not because you're not of My sheep." He purchased the church with His blood. He died to save His people from their sin. He prayed in the garden not for the world, but for those that the Father had given him out of the world. We better make sure that we have the true Christ. Because if we don't have the true Christ, we have no hope. No hope. You see, in grace, God gives all that He requires. All that He's satisfied with. And hope is therefore in the finished work of Christ. Did you hear? Did you hear what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. And there's no but behind it. Think about it. When all these preachers say, well, this is the way to heaven. This is how. But you got no. You see, believing is ceasing from work and looking to Christ alone. He's the Savior. He's the Savior that saved. He's the Redeemer that redeemed. And that's why He gets all the glory. The hymn writer said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And again, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I have hope for a long time. That's my hope. And I have no other. There was another verse in that hymn she sang. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am the dawning light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in Him my star, my sun. And in the light of life, I'll walk till traveling days are done. Lorna loved to travel. I don't think I ever saw anybody that loved to travel as good as she did. She'd go weak, sick. And now she's made her final journey. And her traveling days are done. Traveling days are done. On behalf of the family, I'd like to thank all of you for your kind expressions of sympathy, help these days. I hope you'll stay with us and have lunch with them following the service in the back. You're welcome. Our Father, we thank You for this lady. How we love to hear her laugh. When I think of her and her laughter, the word jolly just comes to my mind. We loved her. Love her still. We'll miss her. We thank You for her. For her service to this congregation. For every blessing that You blessed us with through her. We pray that You would comfort this family and help them. Give them wisdom in the decisions that they must make in these days. And we pray especially for Joe. Our dear brother and friend, we pray that you'd comfort his heart. Keep him. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.